Now I know why Enoch makes a good pastor. He's got a wife that can really sing. No, but that was really beautiful. It was, really was. Let me just, I just want to share something with you all that happened to me on my way up here the other day on Friday. I get on a plane, on a Delta Connection plane in Columbus, Georgia. And I have about, you know, it takes about 20 minutes to get on the plane and about 12 minutes to fly to Atlanta and 20 minutes to get off the plane. But anyway, I fly on that Delta Connection, and I got on the plane, and they let me sit right there in the bulkhead seats, you know, right there where the flight attendants right there in front of you. And so we took off and went on, got to Atlanta and landed. And, you know, they ask, as they do you folks, when you fly, to wait and let everybody else get off, and we'll get a wheelchair for you, or we'll have somebody somebody to lead you through. So I'm waiting, and the flight attendant, she says, are you in a hurry to get your next flight? I said, no, I'm not really in a hurry. I've got time. And she says, well, there's not anybody out there with a wheelchair, or I don't see anybody that's going to lead you. And about that time, the captain come out of the cockpit, and he says, I'll lead him. I'll take him up the ramp. And the flight attendant says to him, don't put the white cane in your hand. and he just laughed, you know. He was real nice, and he laughed and talked about that all the way up the ramp. He says, I ought to put that white cane in my head. But anyway, I just thought I'd share that with you. And let me tell you something else I want to share with you. This is for you ladies. I was in the grocery store probably maybe 2 months ago. And I've been there since then because I've still got a pretty good-sized stomach. But anyway, I was in the grocery store with my daughter, and there was a mother and her little girl right ahead of us. And the little girl, my daughter said, was a very pretty little girl. Said she must have been about maybe 6, 7 years old, somewhere along in there. And another lady in the store came up to her and said, the little girl says, why, sweetheart, that's the most beautiful dress I've seen in a long time on a little girl. Where did you get that dress? And the little girl said to her, my Aunt Sally made it for me. And the woman said, well, do you think your Aunt Sally could make me a dress just like that one? And the little girl looked at her, my daughter said, the little girl looked at her and says, yes, but I think she's going to have to make a bigger size. Out of the mouth of children. So you ladies, watch out what you say. Well, I just wanted to share those things with you because I just thought they were funny, and I think they're genuine. They're things that happen, you know, and you just, you know, if you look around in life and listen to some of the things that are going on, they're not all bad. Some of them are real funny. But one other thing I want to do before we just look at the message that I feel led of the Lord to bring you tonight, I want to read to you something that I just recently read, and I thought it was just absolutely one of the best things I've read in a long time. And it's written by a pastor, Rick Ezell. He's the senior pastor at the First Baptist Church of Greer, South Carolina. I want you to listen to what he says. I mean, I really want you to listen. He said, Jesus is incomparable. And he goes on to say, man lights a great white way, but God lights the Milky Way. He says, man erects a 100-story skyscraper, but God fashions a towering redwood in the California forest. He says that a man paints a landscape on a canvas, and God paints a landscape on every horizon. He says, let me get my place here. He says, man built the seven wonders of the world, and God created the world. He says, look at God. Consider what he has done. God does it so much better than anybody else. He says, God challenges us to compare whatever we want with him. The effort is fruitless. Nothing can stand against him. Everything dims in comparison to him. God is brighter than anything else. He is bigger and better than anything else. He is stronger, and he is longer, and he is taller, and he is incomparable. Listen to what else he says. I just thought it was great. He says, we, the created, are silly to think we can make anything that can compare with what the Creator can make. We will always come up short. We hold no candle to God. He is God. We are not. That is a fundamental fact that gives us the comfort that we need. Nothing is beyond God. Nothing can overpower God. Nothing can confuse God. Nothing can distract God. Nothing can defeat God. Now, aren't you glad he's on your side? Amen. I just thought that was great. I hadn't heard. And I just thought I wanted to share that with you because we're here to praise God, aren't we? And he is incomparable. I mean, no matter where we look, no matter what we see, if we can see, no matter what we feel, no matter what happens in life, there's nothing that God can't take care of it. Amen. I don't care what it is. He is incomparable. So I wanted to share that with you. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father and Almighty God, we're so thankful that there's no one else like you. Almighty Father, you created everything in the heavens. You created everything out as far as man can find and even further. You created the fowls of the air. You created, Almighty Father, the clouds in the air. You created everything that's up there in the heavens, and you also created, Almighty Father, all of the good things that are here upon the face of the earth. Almighty Father, you created the animal life. You created the vegetable life. You created all the green things that are good on the face of the earth, Almighty Father. You created the seas. You created everything that's in the seas and everything that's under the seas. And Almighty Father, you created man. And out of man, you created woman. Almighty Father, there's no one like you. You are incredible. And I love you, Almighty Father. I love you with all my heart and all my mind and all my soul and all that is within me. And I love your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's my Lord and my Savior. And I love the power of your Holy Spirit that dwells within we who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thank you that we can gather here tonight and we can worship you in truth and in spirit. Because that's what we're here for. To worship you. Because you are incredible. Thank you, Almighty Father, for allowing us to be here. And let your word sink deep into our hearts. Let your Holy Spirit speak to us. Because he's the teacher. And we want to hear him. Through your word and through your messenger. Thank you for loving us. And it's in the precious name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Our theme is the journey of faith. Are you on the journey of faith?
Yes.
Do you really love God?
Yes.
Come on, do you really love God?
Yes.
Amen. If you really love God and you're on the journey of faith, tonight we're going to think about some people who did that and they had to leave some things behind. Are you willing to leave some things behind to continue in your journey of faith? Are you? We're going to look at some of that tonight. I'd like for you to just listen. We've been reading the 11th chapter or a portion of the 11th chapter of Hebrews. But I want to just read a few more verses than we've already read, and I'm going to reread the ones that have been read. The Bible tells us, God's Word says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things, so that things are, that are seen were not made of things which do appear." We skipped a few verses of scripture there, but I want to read them. "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it, he being dead yet speaketh." Listen to what God's word is saying here. Abel offered unto God, a more excellent sacrifice. On your journey in faith, are you offering up a more excellent sacrifice unto God? Are you? Am I doing it? Are we really making sacrifices to God? Or are we saying, "God, thank you"? Now, we ought to say thank you to God, but my brothers and sisters in Christ, we ought to make some sacrifices for God.
Amen.
we ought to sacrifice for God. Because what did God give you and I? He gave us life. He breathed into our nostrils the breath of life. He made us to become living souls. He has providentially watched over us. He gave His only begotten Son on the cross of Calvary and let Him go to the tomb and come forth from the tomb and have victory over spiritual and physical death and over sin for you and I, not for Himself. He's made the ultimate sacrifice. What sacrifice have I and you made for God? Think about that. I mean, really think about it. What sacrifice have we made unto God? The Bible goes on and says that's the reason that Abel was more favored in the eyes of God than Cain, because he made the more excellent sacrifice. Notice what else it says. And I don't want Enoch to leave us anytime soon. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found. Why? Because God had translated him, for before his translation, and listen to this, before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now Abel gave the more excellent sacrifice, and God honored that. Enoch was translated, why? Because he pleased God. I wish I pleased God. I'd be gone. I mean, really, I'm serious about that. Have you thought about how have you and I really pleased God? Or have we pleased Him? I mean, it's something to think about. This is not Jack Kinley speaking to you. This is the Holy Spirit of God speaking to you. What have you and I done recently or in the days of our life that has really been really, really, really pleasing just to God? Not doing something for God and trying to make a boast of it. What have we really done that has really pleased God? If we had pleased God like Enoch, we wouldn't be here. They could close the doors. That's right. That's part of it. Notice what else it says here as we go down to the next verse. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. The Bible, my Bible says him, but I put to please God because I believe that's what it says. It says here, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Notice what the scripture says here, not what I say, and what God says. God says that we must come at with an excellent sacrifice. We must be people that we please God. And in this passage of scripture here, it says that we need to be people that we must believe that he is, and not only that he is, but that he is a rewarder of who? Those who diligently seek him. Do you diligently seek him? Do I diligently seek him? Or do we just kind of hang him on a hook somewhere and just go to him when we feel like we need to? I mean, seriously. Let me just cite an example to you. Something happened recently. I had a real good friend that I've known for, golly, over 50 years. Him and I were young pastors together in 1959. He just died and went home to be with the Lord last week. His name was Laurel Falk. I loved Laurel. And he loved me. We were young pastors together. And then we pastored in other places later on, you know, through the years of being pastors. And then we finally ended up, both of us, in Phenix City, Alabama. And we both we met in a prayer meeting every Thursday morning for the last 15 years or so. And Thursday was 2 weeks ago. He was in a prayer meeting with me, and I was there with him. And before the next Thursday to come around, he graduated and went home to be with the Lord. But you know, he was a man who diligently sought after the will of God in his life. I loved Brother Laurel. Him and I, like say, were about the same age. But he was in the pastorate a little bit longer than I was, and so he was kind of a mentor to me when we first came along. And I don't know that I have ever known another pastor that really diligently sought after the will of God like Brother Laurel did. And I'm going to miss him. I've already missed him. And I hope and pray that maybe I've been that way to someone else, some other pastor or someone, that they can see that maybe I try to diligently follow after God. But anyway, here the word says that this is these people here that he's talking about, they did these things. And that's how we move forward in the journey of faith. We give the excellent sacrifice to God. We please God. We diligently seek after Him and after His will. I remember one time, and you may recognize this name, I remember one time when Dr. W.A. Criswell, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas, for many years, was speaking. He says, you know something? He was speaking to a bunch of us pastors. And he says, you know something? He says, I diligently seek after the Lord every day. And he says, sometimes what I'm diligently seeking after for the Lord to give me, I don't need. And he says, the Lord kind of pops me on the top of the head and says, now, W.A., get right with me now. He was saying that God spoke to him. But he was trying to be a diligent seeker of God's will. And that's the way we're all supposed to be, not just pastors. When we become Christians and give our lives to Jesus Christ, we need to diligently seek after the will of God in every aspect of our life. I mean, I don't care what part of life, every aspect of our life. And when we find that we've gone astray and amiss and we haven't done what we ought to do, we ought to repent of our sin and get ourselves right with God. Because we need to diligently seek after Him. And if we diligently seek after Him, He's going to let us know what He wants us to know. And He's going to cause us to do what we need to do. And He's going to bring us to where He wants us to be. But if we say we're diligently seeking after God, and we pray, God, this is what I'd like for you to do, and then we go and do it ourselves, He's going to turn His back on us, and rightly so. Because what we're saying is, God, I just tipped my hat at you, and I'm just going to go do what I want to do. That's not the way we're supposed to be. Notice what else it says. And I want you to look at some other things here. It says, let's drop down a few verses. We'll get to Abraham. By faith, Abraham, when he was called out unto a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. Notice, the word says he obeyed. And he went, out, not knowing whither he went. And then it goes on and says, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and builder and maker is God. Through faith, also Sarah, his wife, received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. I know you women wouldn't want to have a child when you're 90 years old. But Sarah did. And she praised God for it. And so we see that these people, and I'm not going to read any more, but we can see that these people, all of them that the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews tells us about, basically were on a journey of faith, following the will of God, doing what God wanted them to do. And before they got into that faith to go to do what God wanted them to do, they were people who loved God. They were people who gave their lives to God. Now, we're talking about people in Old Testament days. They gave their lives to Jehovah God. And they believed that Jehovah God was the one and only God. And they believed His word, where He said that someday I'm going to send a Savior. And they were looking forward to the Savior. You and I look back, and it's easy to look back. But boy, it'd be tough to look forward in a case like this, wouldn't it? But they did. And they did it by faith. And where did that faith come from? They loved God. They loved God more than they loved themselves. They loved God more than they loved their families. They loved God more than they loved their material possessions. They loved God more than they loved the world they lived in. They loved God more than anyone or anything else. All through the Bible it tells us that of these Old Testament people. And then we think about some of the New Testament people. Talk about a journey of faith. Put yourself in the position of Peter and Andrew. Put yourself in the position of John and James. And here you are, out there making your living. You're fishing. You're a fisherman. This is all you know. And you're just there trying to make a living. And all of a sudden, you know about Christ. And Christ comes along and says, follow me. Yes. The Bible says, not me, but the Bible says, God says, they left their nets and they followed him. Yes, and then here goes Peter and Andrew and Jesus, and they walk down along the lake, and there's James and John, and they're on their father's boat, on Zebedee's boat. And they are mending the nets, so they're working for their father. And if you know anything about Jewish people, they have a real allegiance for their family, and especially the father. And Jesus comes by and says, follow me. And they, the Bible says, they left their nets and they left their father. Note, the Bible says that. They left Zebedee. They left their father and they followed Jesus. Now, can't you imagine what was being said by some of the other fishermen? Look at those stupid things. They're walking off from their inheritance. Isn't that what they probably would have said? But they went, didn't they? And did they ever look back?
No.
They never looked back to... Well, one time Peter did say, I'm going to go fishing. And he took the disciples with him, didn't he? And then Jesus got him there out by the lake and straightened him out, didn't he? But that's what faith is. The journey of faith is an absolute, complete obedience unto God the Father, to God the Son, and to God the Holy Spirit. And when we do that, on that journey of faith, it doesn't mean we're going to have everything go our way. Everything didn't go their way. Everything didn't go Abraham's way. Everything didn't go Isaac and Jacob's way. Everything didn't go Andrew and Peter and James and John's way. Because they had hard times, didn't they? Every one of them had hard times. And sometimes they just didn't know where they were going. And they just trusted in God. That's what we have to do. And you know, as I look at my Bible, and as I read about people, it just amazes me that how these people could have the faith that they have. I wish I had the faith that them had. I mean, I really do. Think about some of the New Testament people. Think about Stephen. Here he is, he's preaching the gospel, he's telling the people the great news of God and the great news of the Messiah, and they become like the terrible riotous mob. And the Bible says that they even eschewed upon him. They chewed upon him. Why? Because he loved God. Because he was following God. Because he was being faithful. And what happened then? They took him out and they stoned him to death. And what did he say when they stoned him to death? He did the same thing Jesus said. He said, Lord, don't lay this sin to them. Don't lay it upon them. Take it away from them. I'm forgiving them. You forgive them. How many of us would do that? And not only that, who was receiving the cloaks of the ones who were stoning him? A young Jewish man who was a Pharisee by the name of Saul. And then later on, what does Jesus do with Saul? Saul's going out there to get those people in Damascus, and he's going to bring them back, and he's going to put them in jail, or he's going to have them stoned to death, and he has the papers to do that. And all of a sudden, that light shines.
Yes.
Phew. Whew, that makes cold chill run down my spine. That light shone from heaven. And he couldn't see. You know, Paul, like us, he can't see. He couldn't see, right? And what did the Lord say to him? The Lord said, go into Damascus. After he got his attention, he says, go into Damascus, and I'll already have somebody that's going to come and greet you there. His name's Ananias. He's going to tell you what to do. So Saul goes. He wasn't Paul at this time. He goes, and he goes to where he's supposed to go, And I can imagine Ananias, can't you? You know, God came to him and said, I want you to go down and talk to this fellow, Saul, and tell him this. Tell him what I want you to tell him. And so I say, Lord, you want me to go to him? He kills people. You really want me to go to him, Lord? Look at the faith Ananias had. Listen, if I knew somebody was going to out to kill all of us Christians here tonight, and I knew that, and God came to me and said, I want you to go to that fellow and talk to him. I don't know whether I'd go or not. Do you? But anyway, Ananias went by faith. Saul went by faith. And then what happened? My God spread the word all over the world. And you and I are here today as servants or as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ because of Saul being converted and becoming Paul the Apostle. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And it wasn't something Paul did. The Lord did it. Amen. And so it's life is, to me, and I hope you feel this way, life is worthless if I don't have any faith in God.
That's right.
It's absolutely worthless if I don't have any faith in God. And some of you have been where I am today. You had a partner that God gave to you for many years, and now that partner's gone.
Amen. Yes.
And it's a hard struggle. Yes, it is. But it's only through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that you can go on and do what He wants you to do.
Amen.
It's the only way. There's no other way. He's the only one that can pick you up. He's the only one that can put you where He wants you to be. He's the only one that can keep you moving from one place to the other. And sometimes I think my arthritis is getting the best of me. But what I'm saying, my brothers and sisters in Christ, we have to leave something sometimes. And we have to go where God wants us to go. Or God may take someone or something from us, and we have to leave that. We have to leave that and go where He wants us to go. Every one of these people had to do that. They had to leave something. Something that was precious. Their country, their loved ones, their friends, their occupation, or whatever it is. They had to leave it and say, I'm putting it behind me, and I'm going where You want me to go. And my brothers and sisters in Christ, you and I here tonight, even though we have difficulties, and we all do, and even though some of us are getting on up in years, we're getting there. I told Eunice Frederick today, I was talking with her, and she said to me, she said, I'm getting old. I said, how old are you, Eunice? She said, 84. I said, you and I are right there. We're getting old. But God is still using it if we'll let Him.
Amen.
If we have faith in Him. If we will give ourselves to Him. If we will do what He wants us to do and put down the things that are not worthwhile. And do what God wants us to do. We may have to leave something, or we may have to leave something behind, or something, someone or something might leave us. But we still need to keep on keeping on. And I like to think about this, and then I'm going to do this in closing. I like to think about, we ought to be all of us Christians, we ought to be like the Energizer Bunny. We ought to keep going and going and going and going and going and going and going. We ought to be like the Energizer Bunny. We ought to be that way. Because after all, we're serving the greatest one of all. One other thing I want to say to you before we close. And I think it's probably one of the greatest passages of Scripture that we could think about what God wants us to do. And I want to read it to you. I just don't want to try to quote it to you. I just want to read it to you. And I'll be there in just a minute. This is what God's Word says. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present yourselves, your bodies, as a living sacrifice. Listen to that. Wholly acceptable unto God, which is your most reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Paul said that. And Paul said, for me to live is Christ, and for me to die is gain. May we pray. Our Heavenly Father, may we meet every morning and may we close every day with a thought in mind that to live is to be living for Christ, and if we die, it's gain because we're going to be with you. And may we be the faithful, obedient, transformed people that you would have us to have, you would have us to be. Because, Almighty Father, we can't do it in our own self, but with your power, with your strength, and with all that you can give us, we can go and do that which needs to be done, and you being the incredible God you are, you will give us the strength to do it. Thank you, Almighty Father. We love you, we praise you, we glorify you, and we honor you. And we thank you for the greatest and most precious gift of all, your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. Amen.